Father, we love you. Thank you for Zach being on the podcast. I just pray, Lord, his positive spirit becomes contagious for those listening. I just pray that so many people in this episode can see the good in life and see all the blessings that you have for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
So, yeah, man. So, Zach, man, thanks for being on. As you jump on this podcast, I noticed immediately that you were an ultra positive dude. Does that come from? Like, were your parents who were positive? Like, how did that positive mindset come about?
Yeah, man. It definitely goes back to the way that I was raised and some experiences that I had when I was really young. So my mom is a 4-time cancer survivor. So when I was 4 years old, she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, was sent home with a 5% chance to live. And then from there, she ended up being healed of that, but then had a tumor around her sciatic nerve, was healed from that. Then she had colon cancer with 3/4 of her colon removed, was healed from that. And then when I was 15, she had breast cancer, double mastectomy, and was healed from that. So literally from like the ages of 4 to 15, I'm seeing her in and out of the hospital. And the most amazing thing is that she always said to me, Zach, it could be so much worse. I could not be here today. So you need to treat every day like the gift that it is and try to find God in the midst of all the suffering and all the pain and everything. And so that's kind of what shifted my entire perspective on life from a really young age. And I didn't even realize that that was pretty uncommon for most people until I was in my late teens, 20s, because it was like, that's all I knew, was just having that hope, that positive attitude, and just the joy for life.
Wow. And so did you ever have doubts? Like, were there ever any times in your life that it was hard to maintain kind of that positive mindset that you have?
I don't think so necessarily, because it just came like it's like ingrained in my DNA, where it's literally like, this is just the way that I view everything. I mean, I've definitely dealt with a lot of really bad things in my life, as most people have, but I've learned that it's the attitude that you approach those things with that depends the outcome and how you're going to feel throughout it. When it comes to like my faith, I definitely doubted that, fell away for years, just as a lot of people do when they're in college or in their 20s. And I was kind of questioning everything in my mid 20s, just like figuring out what this is all about, what I wanted to believe. I was surrounded by a lot of people that weren't Christian, but living like such a, like the lifestyle of Jesus, even though they didn't believe him. And so they were like the most kind, generous people that I knew. And then I was surrounded by a lot of Christians that were like not the nicest and much more judgmental and unforgiving. And so I was like pretty conflicted at this spot in my life, trying to figure out, okay, what do I believe? Who do I want to be associated with? Like, what's going on here? Why aren't the Christians in my life the most hopeful, joy-filled people out there? Because like we're literally selling hope to the hopeless. Like that's what we say, like in the church, is like we are trying to get people in. We're giving them a source of hope. But then often when we get them in, we're like, you know what? We're just as hopeless as you. Which is crazy. Like, we have the good news. Like, bro, it says it on your shirt. Like, this is the good news that we're like giving to people. And so, yeah, man, I think I definitely have struggled in multiple ways, but the root of my joy and the root of my hope and positivity has been pretty fluid throughout most of my life.
Man, I think that's so encouraging too. Because a positive mindset doesn't have to extend from circumstances. It extends from the fact that you have an ultimate joy that is not based on anything that you got going on in your life, but based on the God who governs your life. And well, I think that's such...
It's like hope. It's the difference between like joy and happiness. Like, happiness is all based on circumstances and doing things and receiving things that make you happy. But joy is something way different. And all throughout the Bible, it talks about joy and how like joy is something that as believers, we should be have overflowing out of us every single day. And it is, it's not based on circumstances, but it is that attitude that you approach life with. So yeah, I totally feel you.
So what would you say to somebody who's, they hear you talking and they're like, I get it. That guy can be happy all he wants, but he doesn't know my life. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know that, you know, last week, this horrible situation happened to me, or my life has been riddled with difficulty. What would you say to somebody like that who really has kind of a cynical attitude towards life at the moment?
I mean, that's like so common. That's literally the majority of people. So like as humans, ingrained in our DNA is something called a negativity bias. So if 10 things happen to us in a day, 9 of them are good or neutral, but one bad thing happens, we're like conditioned to think about that one bad thing and just be replaying it in our mind all day long, which is pretty wild, right? And so everybody needs to go through like a rewiring, a reconditioning process. Paul in the Bible talks about like renewing your mind. In Philippians, he says like, think about these things, whatever is pure and good and praiseworthy. And so it is like a choice that we have to make every day. Yes, there are a lot of bad things happening in my life, in your life, in the listener's life, but it's how you approach it. And it's how you can find small areas where God is still moving and focus on those. Because I really believe that as you focus on those pieces in your life, they're just going to continue to grow, and vice versa. Like if one bad thing happens in the morning, you know, it's like, man, I spilled coffee on my pants. Oh, and then this person cut me off. And then like my boss talked down on me. And then like my girlfriend sent me a message with an attitude, and it just continues to grow. It like snowballs throughout the day. But like right away in the morning, if you spill coffee on your pants, like nip it right away. Be like, no, I'm not going to let that impact the rest of my day. I'm going to continue to see where God is moving in my life and focus on those and be grateful for what I do have. Like, wow, maybe be grateful that you do have coffee in your hand, or that you do have a car on your way to work, or that you do have a job, or you do have a girlfriend. Like these are all amazing things. And I feel like so often, especially when we're younger, we just get so comfortable and we have this sense like that we deserve these things. But in reality, every good and perfect thing is a gift from God. And so we need to be like grateful to the giver for us receiving those things.
I think that's great too, because you're hitting on what I really believe, which is life is less about what happens to you and more about how you respond to it. You'll never be able to fully control the circumstances that happen in your life, but you will always be in control of your attitude and the face that you put on and the mindset that you attack each and every day with, regardless. Yeah. Of the unfortunate circumstances that are going to happen, because trouble is going to come our way, but it's how we respond to the trouble is really what defines who we're going to be. But yet, even as I say that, I recognize, and you probably recognize this as well, that's easier said than done, dude. It's easier to say, like, be thankful in every circumstance, right?
Yeah.
But it's harder to be thankful in every circumstance when the circumstances tend to suck.
Totally.
How do you, like on a practical level, do you create a sense of gratitude, thankfulness, positivity in your life?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of like, I call them holy habits. So literally like if I have a list of habits that I do every day. So maybe it's drink a gallon of water, exercise, read 3 chapters of the Bible, be grateful for 3 things. The list goes on. I have a bunch of different ones. And I think for a lot of people is like, this may not come natural to you. So you might need to put it on your to-do list. And like in the world, we see how important gratitude is. It's like, oh, write down 3 things that you're grateful for every day. But like for us as believers, we're shifting it a little bit where we're saying, no, God, thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for the avocado on my avocado toast. Thank you for this podcast that we're able to listen to together. You know, like there's things that we're able to thank God for, not just thanking the universe for, but we know the source of it. And so, maybe you need to write it in your to-do list every day. Write down 3 things that you're grateful for today. And then every day do it and take and like check it off your to-do list. I'm a huge to-do list guy. That's just the way that my brain works. And so that's what works for me in order to develop that habit from an early stage. And then as you just move on in life is like, wow, you're just being thankful all throughout the day. There's this thing in ancient Judaism that I love where rabbis would thank God 100 times a day, and they would actually thank him 18 times before they even got out of bed. So literally like, God, thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you for feet to stand on. 18 things before getting out of bed. and then 100 throughout the rest of the day, which is pretty incredible to do. Like, you have to always just be aware that God is moving in your life and that there are good things happening. And so for us, I don't think we need to do that necessarily, but I think we can be inspired by it. And we can say that as our days go on, as we build this habit of being grateful to God for it, man, over time is going to be like, wow, thank you for everything in front of me. And it's just going to be consistent throughout your day.
Oh, 100%. But, you know, it's easy for us to be positive in a vacuum. You know, it's just us. Yeah. But yeah. I think sometimes, as much as positivity is contagious and a good attitude is contagious, a negative attitude can be contagious too.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would you say to somebody who is thinking, all right, like, I'm riding with this. I want to be more positive. I want to express a little bit more gratitude, be a little bit more thankful, yet the people around me are a little negative, a little cynical. Yeah. What would you advise on that person?
Yeah, I think there's a spirit of offense oftentimes where it's like, man, like, other people are impacting me so much and they're offending me, which makes me live life from a negative place. But then also just like, yeah, your friends are negative, which drags you down. So there's many different ways of approaching that. Is, okay, maybe you need to take a break from some of the friends that you're spending time with. Maybe it means you need to incorporate some new friendships into your life. Maybe it means that you need to change what you follow on social media and what you're consuming. If you're following certain people and they make you feel some type of way inside, maybe it means you just need to mute them for a little bit in order to get yourself in check. I think it's whatever works for you and whatever is necessary, like whatever length you want to take it to, but there's definitely ways around that for sure. One thing for me, anytime that somebody's driving me crazy, if there's somebody in my life that's like just bugging me, like every time I look at them, they make me want to like be negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so anytime that happens, I swear, I just sit back and I'm like, Any thought that comes in, I say one thing that I appreciate about them or one thing that I see God doing in their life. And bro, over time, like straight up in like a week time, your entire views of them are going to change and the situation, and you're no longer going to be as negative towards that person.
So how do you feel like gossip plays a part in the overall mindset, whether it be partaking in it or abstaining from it? Do you feel like that affects seeing the good in general?
Yeah. I think when you learn to get a mindset of seeing the good and you're surrounded by gossip, it's funny. Whenever you're in a conversation with people and they're like talking crap about somebody, and then you just say something that you like about that person, it like completely squashes the conversation. And your friends are most likely going to look at you like, you're kind of whack, and I'm never going to talk about other people in front of you again. And like, that's happened to me time and time again. And it is what it is. Like, you got to do what you got to do in situations like that. But I think it's super funny to be like, to gossip about people in a positive way. So be like, man, if your friends are talking crap, be like, nah, but look at how cool this is in their life. That's what I want to be known for.
That's true though, because people bond over negativity and cynicism.
Always. Like, I see it every single week. People are like, they hang out with each other just because they can go to a restaurant and literally just like wallow in their sorrows with each other. But what if we were able to be people that like, no, I think your life is better. I want to help pull you up instead of go down with you.
Oh yeah, 100%. And you also, you spoke about this in the book too, about complaining. I know gossip can be kind of synonymous with it, but why do you think complaining is so problematic?
Yeah. So life and death are in the power of the tongue, and it can be so easy to either shoot things down or build them up with our words. And I think the more bad things we think about and talk about in our life, the more bad things are going to happen, and vice versa. If we're always focusing on how God is moving and we're speaking that out and we're sharing answers to prayer and we're sharing testimonies with others of how God has moved in the past, bro, that's what's going to actually build other people up. And instead of complaining, where we're speaking death into situations, It's why wouldn't you want to have a more hopeful, joy-filled life just based off of the words that come out of your mouth?
Oh, 100%. But hey guys, before jumping back into the episode, I want to give a huge shout out to this show's sponsor, Making Him Known Apparel Company. Making Him Known is run by my guy, Aaron, and Aaron does an awesome job of making apparel that draws others to Jesus. They have hoodies, tees, totes, stickers, and much more stuff coming soon, all at makinghimknown.com, which will be linked in the show notes. So if you want to support this podcast, go support Making Him Known and go get you some awesome apparel. I hear you. And of course, I don't think anybody would be like, yeah, complaining is just a great addition to my lifestyle. I think it's just super helpful. I think, you know, I really look forward every day to where I can gossip and slander those around me. I'm sure nobody's, hopefully nobody's actually thinking that, but I think something that people may be thinking would be, look, I understand being positive. I understand that Zach likes to have a smile on his face, but come on, man, I'm just a realist. Like, I just like to see things for what they are. So do you ever feel like you could be so positive that you're just ignoring reality?
Well, I think if you claim to be a realist, then you probably don't believe in the Bible, because there's a lot of things in there that are like, wow, that doesn't make sense in the natural, you know? And so when it comes to complaining and all that, we're commanded to be more joyful. It's part of who we are as believers. These are characteristics that are inside of us because of the Holy Spirit. And so we should want that more than anything. Why would we want to be known for our complaining? That doesn't sound fun at all, you know? And so, that's what I think.
No, I hear you. No, I feel you on that. And I don't know. I think, you know, complaining and things like that are often the catalyst that can really crush somebody's mindset as they move forward. Because as I see it, life is hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
Why would you want to topple the weight on over your shoulders and say, well, you know, not only do I actually have things that are not going well in my life, but I want to emphasize them. Mm. I want to make them even larger than what like they already are. Which for you, you've gone through seasons in your life where you, for lack of better words, you really were battling a lot. You had a lot of things, a lot of dreams that maybe weren't working out in the fashion in which you wanted to. Like, I think in the book, you even talked about how you were like at one point waiting tables. And obviously you're here now, you're an author. Yeah. How did you go from, because you're an entrepreneurial dude.
Yeah.
How did you go from that point to this point?
Yeah. I worked in hospitality for like 12 years. Because I loved being around people. I thought it was an easy way to make cash, and it allowed me to have either my mornings or my evenings free to work on all my business ideas. And then I was able to take the money from serving and dump it into the business ideas. And bro, I failed at probably 7 different businesses before anyone ever succeeded. Like
which businesses did you try? Like, what were some that you kind of tipped your toe into?
I ran multiple clothing lines, recording studio. My first business was making shark tooth necklaces, and I would walk up and down the beach in Naples, Florida, and I would sell them for $10 a pop. I was like 9 years old. Like, that was ingrained in me, bro.
Where do you feel like that comes from? Like, were your parents entrepreneurial, or were you just...
No. I don't know. It's like deep for me. I think I'm inspired by a lot of entrepreneurs, and I have a lot of people in my life where I'm like, wow, I want to do what they're doing. And because of that, like, when I was younger, literally I started my first clothing line because I thought Pharrell was so cool, and he had just come out with Ice Cream and BBC. And I was like, bro, that is what I need to do with my life. And then I was in the music industry because of him as well, because I had these people where I was like, these guys are crushing it, and I think they're so cool, and I want to be like that when I'm older. And I knew that working a sales gig wasn't going to get me there. So I was going to have to work a bunch on my own time and figure out how to. And so literally, like, I was waiting tables, and then I was managing and helping open restaurants. And there was a spot where I did a Kickstarter campaign while I was working at one of the restaurants. I did a Kickstarter campaign for a book that I came out with called The Bible Study. And it ended up.
So how did you, so this is, because I like to research my guests, right? I try to be a good host. It seems to me that, because in the book you talk a little bit about it, how you went to Australia. And what school did you go to in Australia?
It's the School of Biblical Studies program out there, just in the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah. And so you went to Australia to study the Bible and things like that. Yeah. But because you were brought up Christian, but was this kind of like a pipe dream that you had of, oh, I'm going to write a curriculum? Like, no, that seemed to me like of the one that was kind of, because that one took off.
Did you
have any experience in writing or some sort of thing that led to that? Because do you not agree that kind of comes out of nowhere?
Yeah. It's super wild. I stumbled into all this 100%. Like my senior year of college, for my senior thesis, I wrote two books because I thought it would be cool to do. And because I'm like I'm a product guy. So I see a problem and I think of a solution and then I figure out how to make it happen. And so with writing, it was like, oh yeah, I can figure out how to do that. And so I just did it. But in 2014, I was like really struggling with my faith. Even though I grew up in the church, I had seen God move in miraculous ways. But like you hit college, like people I was surrounded by maybe not been the best. And I would just fell away from my faith and I was questioning everything. And so I was like, God, I'm going to give you 2 years. Prove that you're real. Otherwise, I'm done with all of this. And I ended up moving out to Australia to study the Bible for 9 months, like super in depth. Like, yeah, you can study something for 9 months, but no. We studied 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. If it was Genesis week, we would read Genesis 5 times through, and then we would essentially like develop our own commentary on it.
Yeah, and because so, you went to a Christian college for your undergrad, right?
Yeah. But that's when I fell away from my faith the most.
Wow. But like Australia is, you know, not your typical seminary.
Totally. No.
Did you know somebody out in Australia?
No, I wanted to surf and I wanted to get away from the US. I wanted to be on a different time zone because I knew I would be too distracted here. And I'm from Minneapolis. It's cold here.
Yeah.
It's like low of negative 10 this week. Like I'm trying to hit the beach. And so I'm out there for 9 months, but after like a month and a half, it was like, whoa, this is way more work than I ever imagined. And so I'm not going to be able to hit the beach like I wanted to, but I was still like undistracted being out there compared to if I was in the US. And so whole life completely flipped upside down out there, like presence of God every single day, like just seeing crazy things that I had never experienced before in my life. And like just really understood the Father's heart and felt passionate about helping other people study the Bible as well. Because for me, it was like, I grew up in the church, but I didn't know the Bible at all. And so I wanted to hold people's hands as they read through the Bible themselves. I always want to be like the intro guy. Like I want to help you hold your hand, make it seem less overwhelming. And then like there's other people that dive super deep that I'm super inspired by, but that's just not me. I want you to be less intimidated.
So how did you, you start writing this thing. Did you just write this thing in your dorm or your apartment and say, all right,
no, I wrote it in my parents' basement.
It always has to be a basement or a garage.
Yeah.
It has to be one of those.
Literally, wrote the book in my parents' basement, spent 3 months designing it. And then it was a computer file in January of 2017. And I just sat on it. And I started sharing my idea with certain people and they started just giving me money. Like, here's $5,000, build a website. Here's $500, print some promotional copies. And we ended up doing a Kickstarter campaign in June of 2017. And it was a successful campaign. So we were able to go to print with it. And during this time, I was working at a restaurant. And then I left the restaurant job to do sales for 2 years. I built up the Bible study into a business called The Brand Sunday. We had probably 25 people working with us, four full-time. Inc. 5000 rated us number 63 fastest growing business in America in August. And we were acquired in October by Baker Publishing.
That is awesome. And so
it's crazy.
Praise God. did you know, like, when you were, you know, you held the waiter job, you had the sales rep job.
Yeah.
I mean, was there ever a point in this entrepreneurial pursuit that you thought this is probably not going to be the thing?
Like, oh yeah. Every other month. 100%. Like all the time. Like even when we're doing like serious numbers, selling hundreds of thousands of copies, it's like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. I think as an entrepreneur, you're always going to be dealing with situations where you're like, man, I'm way in over my head right now. But that's entrepreneurship. It's never a straight line. It's a roller coaster. You have some days where you feel on top of the world and some days where you're about to go bankrupt, and it just is what it is.
So how did your positive mindset affect that time of your life?
Yeah, I think more so just being confident in God and being confident in the dreams that he put in my life, and knowing that if I was obedient through the years, that even if it did fail, then it was still a success because I was obedient in the midst of it. And so I think I learned so much about just that, about obedience and trust and hearing his voice as clearly as I can, and going from there. But yeah, I think anytime that you're dealing with a bunch of failure or doubt, having a positive mindset always plays into it.
Yeah. And I think something that I struggle with, that I imagine some people in our audience may struggle with, is enjoying the journey anyways, like not seeing everything as, well, I gotta grind and be unhappy until I can sell off this business, or until I get this job, until I graduate from college, get accepted into whatever thing I need to get accepted to, get married, whatever it may be. And a lot of us do a horrible job of enjoying the journey and just want to pursue destinations.
100%.
What are your thoughts on that mindset, and how do you think you are able to be just enjoy like the progress that you have? Because I think that's entrepreneurship in general. At one point, you just got to fall in love with the fact that you get to create and find solutions. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. It was a very long process of me getting there and realizing exactly what you're talking about. So you're way smarter than I am on all this. I literally, bro, I would work 16 hours a day, easy, 7 days a week. I didn't take a day off for 6 years. I was like grind mode always because I wanted it so bad. And that's like the most unhealthy thing you can do. I think like, yes, it was good for a season, but it's not sustainable. And there was one point where a friend of mine, he was like, bro, you need to understand and learn the pace of grace. You need to slow down and you need to allow God to open up the doors, because one open door from God in a minute can take you so much further than you grinding for a year or 10 years. It's like, no, focus on praying into this stuff, slowing down, and allow God to move. And that's really when you learn to like co-labor and partner with him.
So what do you think is the difference between allowing God to move, moving at the pace of grace and all that amazing stuff versus getting after it, like being a beast and for a competitor and being ambitious? Is do you feel like you balance that well? And what advice would you give to somebody who is trying to balance that?
I didn't learn to balance it until I got married. It was literally like, when I was single, it's just all I knew was grind mode. And then I got married and I realized that that's not sustainable. So maybe for those listening, just get married and your life will change.
That's right. It fixes all your problems.
Yeah. like really, I think when you learn to take a step back and you do still get up every single day and you sit down and put in the work and know in your like deep inside that you are doing the right thing every day and you're showing up and you're allowing God to open the right doors, that's when things change. Because it's not like, oh, I'm trying to force things open and I'm going to work until I can't anymore. It's like, no, I showed up today. I'm confident in what I did. And now, God, I'm praying that you continue to move my work even further ahead than what I was doing.
Such a good word too. And man, Zach, to say that you've been through a lot would be quite the understatement. You've done so many things. You've dipped your toe into so many different ponds, so many different rivers. But as you've done that, and as you sit here right now, what do you think is the greatest lesson God is teaching you in this season?
Totally. It's a crazy season for me. We sold our business a month ago, and I came out with a book 3 weeks later. And I'm technically unemployed. And so it's like, what I'm learning right now is, okay, how do I be obedient at all times? And so like the importance of spending time in prayer and worship and listening to God's voice. And then when I do hear like I'm supposed to do something, then going all in on that. And I think if you learn to be obedient, your life will be a wild adventure.
So good, Zach, man. We appreciate you being on today, bro. And you dropped some fire wisdom, some fire truth for those listening today. I know they're going to gain a ton of value from this. So we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, bro.